Will you turn to Acts chapter 14, please? Acts chapter 14. And after you find out, I'm going to give you the title of a Christian book. I don't actually care about the book. I just want you to hear about the title. It's probably a good book, but I don't know anything about it. Acts 14. Here's the title of the book. Wow. Thanks. Help. The three essential prayers. Wow. Thanks. Help. The three essential prayers. That is a brilliant title. Anne Lamott, 2012. Can't tell you anything about the book. But she has summarized very nicely what the Bible would call the three essential prayers. Wow. Thanks. Help. This sermon is called Wow God, Thanks. We do quite a bit of help around here. So we already know about that part. And we skip over the first two. At least I skip over the first two. So this is Thanksgiving Day. So we're going to see reasons to say wow and thanks to God and why they would start, why we would start with wow and thanks. And so we're talking about God's creation and what God does for every human on earth as the starting point. I'm looking mostly at two speeches in Acts, one in Lystra and one in Athens. And I have been curious about these two speeches for a long time because they are one of the very few sermons we get to people who know nothing about God. Usually it's Jews who know the scripture and have some background in synagogue. These people know nothing about God, and Paul does not say what I would have expected them to say to the pagans. He gives them reasons why they should have been thanking God all along. That's not how we would start with the godless. The Lystra speech, Acts 14:14. Paul healed a lame man in Lystra soon after he got there, and the people who saw this miracle decided that Paul and Barnabas were Greek gods, come to visit them. And the people prepared to worship Paul and Barnabas as gods. They got bulls together for sacrifices and so on. And so, let's pick it up in verse 14. When the apostles Barnabas and Paul, Acts 14:14. When the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd shouting, "Friends, why are you doing this? We too are only human like you. We're bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. And in the past, he let all nations go their own way. Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with gladness." These people in Lystra know nothing about the one true God. What should they hear first? Creation. The living God made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. That is the first thing people need to understand about our God. What else? That God has been good to them, these idol worshippers who never heard of him. God has not left himself without testimony. He's been talking to you this whole time. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with gladness. So people get to harvest at harvest time, and they gather food, and they eat, and they feel good about this. They had another harvest. They got food. They are filled with gladness. They know times of gladness. And God gave them a long leash to ignore him and worship their images. He let all nations go their own way. But he did not stop being good. He kept being good to them. He did not punish them for ignoring him. He gave them rain and food so they could have regular harvests and eat, and they would have reasons to be glad. God did that to the people who ignored him. This is the basic information about our God. The living God made everything. Until now, he let you ignore him. He kept being good to you, making sure you had rain and harvest and reasons to be glad. What would be the right response to this? Really? Wow, God, thanks. But God has been doing all along calls for that response. He's not getting it. But that's what he's been doing all along. I don't need it. Thank you. According to this little speech, what separates God's people from the ungodly? How are we different from the rest? We know God and we worship him. The godly say, wow, God, thanks. And the rest don't. That's the difference. That's the starting point of the difference. The ungodly don't know God. They ignore God. They serve worthless things. Different responses to the same kindness. That's what we're talking about here. Different responses to the same kindness. Now we're going to take a detour to Romans 1. Romans 1, please. Paul writes basically the same things to the church in Rome. It's more severe, but it has the same themes as the Lystra speech. What can we know from creation, what God does for all people on earth, and how we respond? Romans 1:18. I'm going to read to the end of verse 22. Romans 1:18. The question this paragraph is answering is, how did people end up so ignorant of God? How did people end up so ignorant of God? That's what this is answering. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. Let's go through this a little one more time. Verse 18 says, people suppress the truth. Okay? We have truth and we hold it away, we push it down. Verse 19 says that God made the truth about him entirely plain. This is the part we don't get, but just stay with me for a little bit here. God made the truth about him entirely plain, and he made people so we could see it and understand it. Verse 20, visible material creation makes the invisible God clear. His power and his nature, his divine power and what kind of God he is. God speaks about himself plainly and openly by what we see. So we have no reason to ignore him because we're getting a clear message. Verse 21 is the key verse here. Although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile. Back in humanity's early days, we knew all this. Simply by living in the world and having our eyes open, we knew that there was a great God behind all of this and that he was consistently good and kind to everything he made. This was clear to people back in the early days. Whenever this turn happened, I do not know. Maybe the Tower of Babylon, I cannot say. And in spite of knowing that, the human race decided not to praise him and not to thank him. We knew this. We could pick it up. It was clear to us. And the humans back there decided not to praise or thank him. We knew we should praise him and thank him. That was clear from the world. And we decided no more worship, no more thanksgiving, no more, wow, God, thanks. And the result of this refusal, our decision not to praise or thank God, was that our minds became blind and dark, and now we can't see it. That's why we don't see it. When we did see it, and we should have praised and thanked, we decided not to do it, and now we can't see it. And the world looks at creation and looks at how the world is. It's not at all evident there's a great God who is good. Who looks around and sees that? We lost it. Because we turned away from God back there when we still understood what God had made plain in His creation, we now no longer understand it. It is not plain to us anymore. God's power and kindness are no longer plain in material creation. We became blind, dark, and fools. We think we are wise, but we are fools. We had the truth and suppressed it, and now it's gone. And how did this happen? Although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God or gave thanks to Him. That was the turning point. Not some act of sin. It was not sin that made this happen. In this summary, we lost our insight, our ability to see, because we decided not to praise God and not to thank Him. And then we became blind and dark. I grew up in a typical home. My dad went to work. My mom was a homemaker and took care of five children in the household. And I knew growing up as a small child how completely I depended on my parents for food and shelter and clothing and protection and guidance. I just needed them. And I heard stories about kids who ran away from home, and I thought, well, how stupid is that? And what are you going to do? And I heard stories about orphans, people whose parents were gone, and it sounded horrible to me, life like that. All humans used to know, just from living in this world, that we were as dependent on God as a child knows it is dependent on its parents for care. We just knew it. We didn't have to be told. A child doesn't have to be told that. If there's moderate intelligence, it's very clear that you need these parents and this home to survive. It was that obvious to us from life around us. But we decided to run away from home, and we lost the ability to see God around us. We got dark and blind. And that's how we have ended up in this space. Although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. And then their thinking became futile. Their foolish hearts were darkened. They claimed to be wise. They became foolish. We don't feel foolish. We think we're pretty smart. Some other people may be smarter, but there's a lot of people not as smart as we are. We all know that right away. Right? That comes pretty easily to us all. The natural response then was to worship and thank God. It was the natural response, but we stopped. And so now we no longer experience the world that way, and that's why we need to be told. And after we're told and we go, wow, thanks, after a while we start to get it again. Right? We sort of get back toward the truth. In the Lystra speech in Acts 14, Barnabas and Paul gave the Lystrans a crash course on what used to be plain to us all. The living God made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. God has not left Himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven, crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with gladness. Okay, He just sort of crams everything that used to be obvious into a few sentences. Why does God encourage us to praise Him and thank Him? So there's the voice of the voices around would say, because God gets cranky and grumpy if we don't flatter Him and make Him look good. Not a chance. Listen, if that was true, we'd have been exterminated long ago. God encourages praise and thanks because He does not want His children to be blind, dark, and fools. When wow and thanks are not part of our lives, we are living as blind, dark, and fools. God wants His sons and daughters to know the truth and live by it. And so He tells us the truth. We do want to live by the truth. We do want to know it and live by it. Like that is among us. And so not praising him and thanking him for what he has done and still does for every human is walking away from the truth and staying in our blind, dark foolishness. God wants better for his sons and daughters than that. Praising and thanking God moves us away from our dark, blinded dream world back into the true reality of God. That's why God encourages us to worship him and thank him. Turn to Acts 17. This is the other speech to the pagans. The philosophers in Athens want to hear about Paul's new religion. The Athens people had people who did nothing but talk about something new. Luke's summary of philosophers, and he's not delighted with that species. But anyway, Paul knew about them. Luke does not seem to think much of that practice, that way of life. But anyway, these people wanted to hear more about Paul's new religion. So this is a lot like the Lystra speech. It's more detailed, but he's doing the basic thing. So in Lystra, Barnabas and Paul are kind of in a panic. Just put down this worship. These people are going to worship them. This time, Paul has little time to prepare. They make an appointment, meet us over there and talk to us. So, but he basically says the same thing. So, we're in Acts 17 and we're going to start in verse 22. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus. Let me take another run at that. Areopagus. Paul stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I'm going to proclaim to you." So he sees an opening. These people were so worried that they might be ignoring some god that they made an altar to the one they hadn't heard about yet. And they did some kind of worship there too. Or maybe they didn't, but at least they had an altar to it. So Paul says, "I'm going to tell you about that God. The God who made," verse 24, "the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands." So he begins with creation again. God made the world and everything in it. He is Lord of heaven and earth. In other words, he's not like your gods. He's not another one of your gods. He's way above that. "And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else." We don't give to God. He's giving to us all the time. "He himself gives everyone life and breath and everything." That is a remarkable line. Carly's not in here. After church, you look at Carly. A baby in a mother's womb has an umbilical cord, a little hose going from the baby's belly button to the mother. And through that cord, the mother gives the baby life, oxygen, breath, everything. Everything. There is at all times a cord like that going from our God to every human being. He is giving us right now life and breath and everything. And if you are alive and breathing, the cord is working well. And that's why you and I are alive and breathing and why we can move and listen. And the moment that's not happening, we're dead. The moment that's not happening, we're dead. If we're alive, it's happening. The cord is working. He gives us life and breath and everything. From verse 26, "From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out the seasons," that's Ed's translation, "and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so they would seek him, perhaps reach out for him and find him." Verse 26 is much debated. What's Paul talking about there? What are the seasons and boundaries? Whatever they are, the normal result was that people would seek God. They would want this God. So I think the seasons here is the same word as in the Lystra speech, fruitful seasons, food. God gives people food. God gives people food and a place to live. Do you have food? The pagans have food. The godless have food. The enemies of God have food and a place to live. He gives everybody who has food, they got their food from God. Everybody who has a place to live got it from God. And he does this so that people will seek for him and find him. We have lost our ability to see our creation as overall a profoundly kind place. We don't see it. So we're being explained it here, and how if it wasn't a kind place, we would not be alive, but we don't see it. So what would we do when we found him? He gives every one of us life and breath and everything. He gives us seasons of harvest so we have food, and he's given us a place to live. When we found him, we would worship him and thank him, because we are all enjoying those things, and every human on earth that's alive is enjoying those things right now. In verse 28, Paul quotes two Greek writers. In him we live and move and have our being. Okay, think about that. I mean, that's in him. That's the umbilical cord, okay, coming from God to us. In him we live and move. So how can you say it's hard to find God? You're tied to him and he's tied to you by his doing. He's not far away. If you're alive, you're all hooked up. In him we live and move and have our being. We are his offspring. Let me summarize. I'm going to stop there with the Athens speech. Let me summarize the things in the Athens speech that used to be plain to every human. One of the scriptures I handed out was, I give in my email, was Psalm 19, the first four verses. The heavens declare the glory of God and all that. We used to hear it, but now we don't hear it anymore. We're actually interested in the heavens. You say, boy, that's impressive. But most of the world doesn't occur to them that there's a great God. Even those that are interested enough to worship, they end up worshiping the sun or the moon. But that there's a God evidently behind here putting this does not occur to people. So we've lost our ability to hear that. Here's what the Athens speech summarizes about God for every human. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. He himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. God has given all people seasons of harvest. He has given them a place to live. And if we have food and a place to live, we got these from God. In God we live and move and have our being. We are his offspring. God gave all this to people so that people would seek him and find him. And he's waiting for a response to kindness. That's what God is doing. The thing is, this is as true of God's enemies, the atheists who walk away. This is true of every single human. The atheists and the enemies of God are like children who decide to run away from home, but they never got out the door. They still eat at the table God provided, and they eat the food God provided. And they breathe and live because God keeps them alive. And they sleep on the bed God provided. And in the morning they get up and they put on the clothes God provided. And they fight God and say he's not there. But that's what they're doing. They never got out the door. They tell themselves they've left him, but they never got out the door. This is God's kindness. He doesn't do this resentfully. He gives each of them life and breath and everything else. And they also live and move in him and exist in him. Jesus says that God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. God gives people a long leash. A long leash. So living on this earth should lead every human being to seek God, to find him, in order to praise him and thank him. Living in the earth, this earth should do this. This used to be obvious, but we lost it. Praising and thanking God is moving back toward the truth, toward what's actually going on from God to us. And what separates God's people from the others is that we know how much God gives everyone. And because we know, we praise him and we thank him. Amen. Will you stand and join with me in prayer? our God. You made the world and everything in it. We are convinced of that. You are the Lord of heaven and earth. You give everyone life and breath and everything else. You give all people seasons of harvest. And you give us all a place to live. And we agree that if we have food and a place to live, we got these from you. And if we are alive and breathing, we are getting it from you. In you we all live and move and exist. We are all your offspring. And you gave us all this so we would seek you and find you. And, O God, these things are often not plain to us. They should be, and they are not. But you told us the truth. And so, God, from this room, we praise you for your kindness, your unending kindness to all you have made. Thank you for your patient care. You've been reliable, utterly faithful and reliable in our lives. Thank you for your patience with our ungratefulness. We have often been ungrateful, and you have been patient. And, O God, by your Holy Spirit, lead us often into thankfulness. O God, by your Holy Spirit, lead us often into thankfulness. Amen. You may be seated.